Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening every Sunday night at this time for Bible Crossfire. Unfortunately, you can't tell some believers from unbelievers by looking at their lifestyle. It seems many only want to be a Christian on Sundays and live like the world Monday through Saturday. This raises an important question. Does God care how we live? Does it matter how a Christian lives? A passage like 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10 would certainly indicate that it matters. It reads, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Doesn't that passage make it clear that if we are guilty of such sins, we won't inherit the kingdom of God, we won't be saved? And that passage was written to Christians. This idea that a Christian can live any old way he wants to and still be saved, sometimes called once saved, always saved, is a false doctrine, a false notion. Sam Morris, the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Stamford, Texas, a number of years ago, put it this way. A Christian's sins do not condemn his soul. The way a Christian lives, what he says, his character, his conduct, or his attitude toward other people have nothing whatever to do with the salvation of his soul. All the prayers a man may pray, all the Bibles he may read, all the churches he may belong to, all the services he may attend, all the sermons he may practice, all the debts he may pay, all the ordinances he may observe, all the laws he may keep, all the benevolent acts he may perform will not make his soul one whit safer. And get this, and all the sins he may commit from idolatry to murder will not make his soul in any more danger. Most extreme false doctrine I've ever heard of. Notice how 2 Peter 2:20 through 22 refutes this once saved, always saved position. Here's how it reads. "For if, after they have escaped the pollutions," we're talking about sins here, not smog, "the pollutions or sins of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." So if a Christian falls back into the sins of the world, this text says he is in a worse condition than if he had never become a Christian to begin with. Of course, that means he would become lost, because if a Christian person's never become a Christian to begin with, they're lost, and now here's a Christian that's fallen away, he's worse off than that, he would be lost also. One more text that especially shows how very careful we should be about how we live our lives. James 2:10. "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." This text teaches that even if we are doing most things right, if there is just one sin we refuse to quit, one sin we refuse to stop, we are guilty of the whole law. So God does not tolerate the practice of even one sin. If you have a Bible question or comment, please give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Does it matter how a Christian lives? I should say so. Many people will say, well, but everybody sins, so their conclusion is, well, it's okay to sin. Just because a lot of people sin doesn't mean it's okay to sin. Not at all. Galatians 5:19 through 21 says about the same things we read from 1 Corinthians 6 a while ago. Here's how that passage reads. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Again, this text would mean that if a Christian, this text was written to Christians, if a Christian commits the sin of adultery or fornication or homosexuality or he's a thief, he will not inherit the kingdom of God. He will not be saved. So it does matter how a Christian lives. If a Christian doesn't live like a Christian, he'll be lost, just like a person that's never become a Christian to start with. It matters how we live. We have to become a faithful Christian, and then after that, we have to remain a faithful Christian if we want to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. James from North Dakota, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Well, earlier, you just were talking about, I don't remember what passage it was, but James, or I'm not sure where it was, but where somebody was a believer at one time and followed and fell away.
Yeah, probably 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22.
That's the one. Well, that's my spot. I am struggling hard because of, well, am I saved or am I not? I am in a bad spot. And I quite literally, well, I feel like I'm going to hell because I cannot get out of this rut no matter what I do. I know it's not on me, and the prayers I've prayed, I don't have any more motivation. I don't have any more nothing.
You don't have motivation to serve the Lord? Is that what you're saying?
I want to, but nothing happens. I mean, I pray, and I have no giddy up and go. I'm back to drinking. I'm back to the sex. I'm back to the porn. I'm back to everything.
Think about, you know, every sin that we commit is a choice. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says that God provides a way of escape anytime we're tempted. And James, we just have to look for that way of escape and take the way of escape. I see that you're saying you're not motivated to do that, though, right?
No. No. And in the past, I had that fire. I mean, the fire for the Lord was amazing. I want that back. Mm-hmm. But today, it's gone.
You know, I'm thinking of, we don't have but a few minutes here, but I'm thinking of a passage like John 1:29, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." James, do you know how Jesus could be called the Lamb of God by John the Baptist? How could Jesus be called the Lamb of God?
Well, the Lamb, as far as I understand, was the sacrament.
The sacrifice, that's right. And so Jesus, the Old Testament, the Lamb was the prominent thing, I guess I would say, that was sacrificed. Jesus is the Lamb now because He is the sacrifice for us. You're agreed so far, I'm sure.
Well, yes, but back to the Scripture, it doesn't talk about, you know, we're off topic here. It says once you've gone off, or once you've, you know, walked away, you're done.
Well, it doesn't say you're done. It says you're lost, but you can return. But let me finish my thought.
There is no more sacrament for sin.
No, hold on just a minute. I see why you're saying I'm off topic, but just bear with me a little bit. So I want to provide you some motivation why you should serve the Lord. I hadn't really ever met a person that didn't love their mother, and that's because they realized their mother did so much for them when they were children. Like, for example, my mother took me back and forth to Little League football and baseball practice like crazy. She changed our diapers before we can remember. We love her mother because we appreciate what she did for us. All right. Now, think about Jesus. He's the Lamb of God. He's the sacrifice. He went through a horrible, terrible, torturous death for every one of us so that we could be saved. And so think about what He's done for us. If we have an appreciation for that, that should motivate us to serve Him. Do you follow my point, James?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Now, as far as whether or not you can come back, I'm going to turn to James 5, 19 through 20. It says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." So we're talking about brethren here. If a brother errs from the truth, if we can convert him back, it says we save a soul from death. So that shows that a brother who's erred from the truth can be converted back, can come back into a saved relationship with Jesus Christ. and save his soul from death. You see my point, James?
Yes, with the exclusion of, there are no more, crying out loud, there are no more exceptions, or there are no more, you can't put, you know, their second death. That's my problem.
The Bible teaches there's only one unpardonable sin, the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And so,
yes, and that's quite literally to deny the ghost for what and who it is, saying that it is not good, it is not great,
Matthew 12, 31 through 32 explains that, and that is, if you see a miracle in the Bible, believe that it really happened, but attribute the power of the miracle to Satan instead of Jesus, instead of the Holy Ghost, then you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. You cannot be pardoned. But any other sin, if a Christian committed murder, rape, became a homosexual, he can be forgiven of those sins if he will make the decision to quit those sins. James, why don't you contact me after the program at my email address and we can continue this conversation further. I'm at BibleCrossfire@email.com. Is that okay?
Yeah, that'll work.
Do that, because we need to talk a lot more than what we can do on one little tiny little program.
I understand.
Thank you, James.
Yep.
So the email address to reach me through the week, my name's Pat Donahue, of course, is BibleCrossfire@email.com. We can talk about anything that you want to as it regards to the Bible. At this time, if you have a Bible question or comment, could be on this topic, which we're talking about tonight, does it matter how a Christian lives, or any other Bible topic, give us a call at 877-655-6755. The number to call is 877-655-6755. And so we see from the scriptures we've looked at, and many more, that it does matter how a Christian lives. Of course, we read the extreme position from Mr. Sam Marsh about how that a Christian can commit any sin from idolatry to murder, and that will not make his soul any more danger. But he's absolutely wrong about that. It's false. The Baptist Church is known for teaching this idea of once saved, always saved. Or another way they put it is, you cannot fall from grace. But I want you to notice, Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 says, Christ is become of no effect unto you, and he's talking to Christians. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. So many say that a Christian can't fall from grace. This passage shows that some had, that it is very possible. A Christian, if he does not remain faithful to the Lord, he does fall from grace. And this proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that it matters how a Christian lives. It certainly matters how we conduct our lives Monday through Saturday, not just on Sunday. Charles from Washington, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please. Is this Chuck?
Yes, hello.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Sure. I think the gentleman from North Dakota might have been referring to the passage. It's either Hebrews 10:26 or Hebrews 6, where it says, "If one sins, there no longer remains a sacrifice." I think that might have been what he was getting at, and he was wondering about that. I'm guessing.
So in Hebrews,
maybe
it's in it.
Found on that one.
In Hebrews 10, in verse 25, it says, talking to Christians, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Chuck, what I think that text is saying is that let's say we sin inadvertently, it's not willful, then we're not overtly rejecting the sacrifice of Christ. But if we sin on purpose, if we sin willfully, then we're consciously rejecting the sacrifice of Christ. And the writer of Hebrews saying, there's not another sacrifice. As long as you reject that sacrifice, there's not another one. And every time we sin willfully, we are rejecting the sacrifice of Christ. You see my point, Chuck?
Yes. And I was thinking also that you have those other plain passages that you mentioned that talking about how a Christian can like be restored, like I guess it was James you mentioned there in James 5.
Right.
Yeah, that I've heard it said before that if there's a passage that's a little bit difficult, sometimes you can look at plain verses on the same topic, and it helps enlighten that one that's a little bit hard
yeah.
to understand.
The one in Hebrews 10 doesn't actually say the person can't be forgiven. It says there is no more. There's no more sacrifice for sin. But if that person will repent and quit rejecting the sacrifice of Christ, then he can take advantage of the sacrifice of Christ. Phil from Michigan, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'd just like to make a comment. I do believe in once saved, always saved, but I believe that it matters how a Christian lives his life. Is the way I understand the Word of God is every single believer is going to stand before God someday and give an account for everything. And every single lost person is going to stand before God and give an account. And the Christians are going to be rewarded or lose reward. And those going to hell are going to be, some are going to be punished more than others. I do believe it matters how we live our life and for that reason.
Phil, I want you to notice there's a lot of passages I could turn to, but I want you to notice Revelation 3:5. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Now, Phil, the book of life is mentioned about 6 or 8 or maybe 10 times in the Bible. Do you know what the book of life is in the Bible? When it talks about the book of life, what is that?
I'm fairly familiar with it.
Well, the book of life is God's book, whether it's figurative or literal, it wouldn't make any difference. It's God's book where he keeps up with a list of the names of all the saved people. And here he says that if we overcome, I suppose that's talking about either persecution or temptation or both, if we overcome, God will not blot our name out of the book of life. That implies that if we don't overcome, he will blot our name out. He will erase it out. And so that means that we were saved to start with, because if we weren't saved to start with, our name would not have been that book of life in that book of life to start with. And so we were saved, and then we did not overcome temptation, and so our name was blotted out. That means we were saved, and then we were lost. In the book of life means saved, and then blotted out of the book of life means we were lost after we were saved. You see my point, Phil?
I understand what you're saying, but isn't there a verse in the Bible that says that I have written these words that you may know that you have eternal life? And I mean, let me give you one example. I'm driving down the road right now. If I see an attractive-looking female and I start lusting after her and I run off the highway and hit a tree and die, according to what you're saying, I'm going to hell because I didn't have time to repent after that lusting situation.
The Bible says in passages like Matthew 7:7, "Seeking you shall find," that you will always be given time to repent if you're a true seeker. And so you'll always be given time to repent, but if you refuse, then you lose your salvation. Now, you did mention a verse about knowing that we are in him. Here's one. 1 John 2:5 said, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." So the way that we know that we're saved, Phil, is by keeping his word. And what that would imply is that if we don't keep his word, then we know that we're not saved. You see, and so here's a Christian, he becomes a Christian, and then for whatever reason, perhaps he's like the earlier caller, he loses his motivation and he quits keeping God's word. Is he still going to be saved? Well, not according to this verse that you quoted, Phil. Any more follow-up, Phil?
Well, I'm motivated to keep God's word because I believe that I'm going to stand before him someday and give an account for everything. But I do that because I know I'm going to heaven. I'm not doing that to try to get into heaven because I know my heart and I know that I fail. I know that I fail every day. I can't be perfect in this lifetime, but I do know I'm going to give an account for everything, and that's what motivates me to try to try to do the best I can and live a godly life.
Here's a passage in John 14:21. Jesus says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and he will make and will manifest myself to him." So the Bible teaches that the ones that God will love, and I'm talking about love in the sense of blessing them with salvation, are the ones that keep his commandments. So if we don't keep his commandments, according to John 14:21-23, if we don't keep his commandments, God will not love us in the sense of blessing us with salvation. We will be lost. David from Mississippi, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, it's good to talk with you. I listen to you from time to time. I was just telling you what you're, you know, what you're speaking on. You know, the Bible says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know, you you was talking earlier. You know, we all struggle with something, whoever it may be, whatever it may be. But, you know, you was talking about those who commit certain sins in the book of Corinthians. And he went on to write, he said, "And such were some of you." You know what I mean? We don't practice this stuff nowadays. You know, we don't practice it now, even though it may arise at times. You know what I mean?
That's right. Thanks for your call, David. You're right.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it. The verse that David mentioned, First John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Or verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. David's exactly right, we sin. Now verse 9 that's stuck right in between those two verses says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." This is talking about to Christians here. Christians sin. David is right. Verse John 1, 8, and 10. Well, verse 9 says, if we'll confess those sins, God will forgive us. Now, the question I have for the audience is what if we don't confess those sins? What if we're not willing to admit we've sinned? What if we're not willing to repent of our sins? Acts 8:22. This passage says, implies that if we don't confess them, then God will not forgive us. Even if we've become a Christian in the past, even if we're a Christian, now we decide not to confess our sins, not to acknowledge our sins, not to repent of our sins, not to try to quit, not to repent, not to try to change. This passage implies that he will not forgive us. Only those who confess, acknowledge their sins, are willing to repent of them, are the ones that God will forgive, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And so it does matter how a Christian lives, and it matters a whole lot more than what Phil is saying. It matters to this extent. If you don't live right, you will lose your salvation. If you don't remain faithful to Christ, you will not be saved. You will not spend an eternity in heaven with God. It matters that much how a Christian lives. We need to live faithful to Christ. Become a faithful Christian and then follow through on that commitment and remain a faithful Christian. Again, if you want to contact me through the week to discuss these Bible topics further, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. Now, that's not Gmail. I'm not saying that. I'm saying email. BibleCrossfire@email.com. Send me an email. We'll talk about these things to your heart's content. Any Bible topic you want to talk about, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. I appreciate you listening this evening. Be sure to listen next week at this same time.